We have been discussing, and you have been watching, the Gian Gomeshi story unfold in front of our eyes. And a conversation that I think is worthy of having is, if you are interested in BDSM or kink culture, as Gian Gomeshi is, what is the appropriate way to introduce that to somebody? What's the appropriate way to integrate that into the relationship? Because obviously, the way that Mr. Gomeshi went about it, the wrong way. But what is the right way? Because there is a right way. So as adults, let's have an adult conversation. And joining me now in studio, he is behind OntarioKink.com. He's involved in the BDSM community here in Niagara. Matt joins me in studio. Good afternoon, Matt. And thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
First off, BDSM and kink. Can you define them? Let's just start with BDSM. What is that?
Sure. Well, BDSM typically refers to bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism. So there's really a wide range of things that fall under that. Kink is even wider. Kink also incorporates other, fantasies and fetishes, everything from, fuzzy handcuffs to role-playing, the naughty nurse, the sexy police officer, your typical Halloween costume.
So BDSM community here in Niagara. What does that mean? I mean, is it a social group? Do we go out for dinner? Or is it strictly about kind of the bedroom activities?
Well, first, I want to address something that you did say earlier when you were talking about Gian Gomeshi. You basically implied that he was a kinkster. And one thing I would like to clear up is that the feeling within the kink community is not necessarily that he is a kinkster.
Okay.
He definitely has some dark fetishes that he seems to be into. However, what we're seeing appears to be him using kink as a smokescreen for his behavior. And that's something that the kink community just cannot get behind.
What would you define his behavior as then? Is it just criminal?
Criminal, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
And
if consent was not ever broached with these women, if they did not agree to it, then it is assault and he should be prosecuted for that. Hopefully he will be. At the very least, publicly, his name has been tarnished, and that's a good thing.
What I wanted to do is have the conversation about the right ways
Sure. To
go about introducing somebody to the BDSM lifestyle, if you are so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take an example that you're an individual, you are so inclined, and you're going on a first date with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on a second date or a third date, and things are starting to progress physically as well, and emotionally. At what point do you broach the topic? Are there rules? Are there guidelines?
No, there's certainly no guidelines or rules in place. I mean, let's face it, there's no primer for dating even. And we have online dating, we have dating, friends, people that you're introduced to. And so really it all depends on what you're comfortable with. Let's face it, walking up to somebody and exposing that side of yourself, any sexual side of yourself, may not be an easy thing to do. So certainly it's a matter of your own comfort level, and also getting to a comfort level with that person that you feel that you can expose that side and discuss it like rational adults.
Even though we're having an adult conversation, I kind of hesitate to use the phrase, but baby steps. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate to maybe not go all the way initially, but introduce them a little bit? And to that point, is it important to be very vocal and be very forward with what it is that you are about to do in the bedroom?
Oh, absolutely. I think when it comes to telling somebody about what you're into, there's two ways you can get into it. Either you can say straight up, whether it be through an online dating profile or, the first time you go out for coffee, get it out of the way. If it's something that makes a big difference to you, why not on your first date? The same way we discuss whether or not we're interested in having children, religious beliefs, politics, those things that you say that you're not supposed to talk about on a first date. Get it out of the way relatively early.
Because if they're not into it, it's probably incompatibility.
Right. You're just kind of wasting each other's time at that point.
What's your experience with that? Have you ever broached that topic, let's say, on a first date, and what have the reactions been?
Generally, I'm one of those that, at least in recent years, has been fairly open and honest about it. So I make, slight mentions to it in dating profiles or, early on in conversation. It's actually been received very well.
If it's not their thing.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are quite open to it and at least understand that as adults, we have, wants and desires, and the number of kinky people that are out there is actually much higher than we would be led to believe.
is it a thriving community here in Niagara?
Absolutely, yeah. All of Ontario is. For instance, there's a social networking website dedicated to kinksters. And there is actually about 111,000 kinksters in Ontario. They're listed on that website. About 260,000 in Canada. So yeah, there's lots of people. Now keep in mind, that's only people that are identifying as a kinkster on that social networking site, not the people that are practicing at home.
Now you keep using that phrase kinkster. Is that the appropriate term? Is that the term that you use and people on the outside should be aware of?
It really all depends on how you fit into things. There's some people who are strictly into power exchange. So a dominant and a submissive in that role. And there's a wide range of labels out there. So
what are some of the other labels that people should be looking for that would identify that somebody is a kinkster or into BDSM, especially with the proliferation of online dating? Because you see a profile there and you say there may be little hints in your profile. So what are some of those keywords or phrases that might tip you off?
Well, let's face it. One thing that we're seeing quite often now is people just making reference to taking lead in a relationship, 1950s style household, things like that kind of allude to it, but don't get right out there and say it. Of course, with 50 Shades of Grey being so popular right now, people are finding very creative ways to go about that.
Now, when it comes to OntarioKink.com and the kinkster community, do people have kind of a perverted view of what's actually going on? I think people think that it's always medieval people and it's always an orgy. Is that a misconception?
Absolutely, 100%. Kink is what you make of it. So that can be, between you and your partner. It can be, like I said, fuzzy handcuffs. It could be orgies if that's what you're into. But it really is what you make it. And the really important thing that we're wanting people to understand, or I'm wanting people to understand, is that the primary thing in all of this is consent.
And further to consent, how do you go about getting consent? Because everybody has been involved in the bedroom. When somebody does something that they're unfamiliar with, and that happens, but at some point it makes you uncomfortable. At some times you may just sit back and say, well, look, let's see where this goes. How do you actually get consent? Is it important for you to kind of stop down and discuss and say, this is where I want to bring this relationship, this is where I want to bring this bedroom activity? Does that happen, and is it important for that to happen?
Absolutely, yeah, that's a very important conversation to have. Now, one thing that I will note is that most of the kinksters that I know, communication is key with them. They're very good at it. They're willing to talk about those hard topics. And that is really what everybody out there should be doing in their relationship, because whether you're kinky or not, you may have had a situation just in the bedroom where suddenly maybe it was a cold hand or the dog jumping up on the bed, where all of a sudden somebody was turned off. And now we've gone from maybe a consensual situation to somebody tapping out and not wanting to have anything to do with that moment.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, and just want to reiterate, if you are into it, but let's say you're dating, you're a single person, and people that you are on dates with may not be familiar with your affinity to BDSM. When is the best time to have that conversation? Is it at dinner? Is it after a couple of dates? Is it when you're in the bedroom? And should BDS or kinksters actually couch their full desires for the first couple of sexual encounters to maybe get comfortable with the person first?
I think there's certainly a learning curve there. If you go into the relationship knowing that the other person has been involved in those things, it's definitely a lot easier. If not, yeah, certainly you kind of want to tiptoe into it a little bit, explain, just as you're getting comfortable with the person, explain that maybe you have those desires, you have fantasies. Most relationships now, before they get to that sexual stage, there is a lot of discussion that goes on. And if there's not, there should be. You should be discussing those things.
If people here in the Niagara region want to learn a little more or want to get involved, where should they go online?
I would certainly suggest that you check out OntarioKink.com. It's a website. We were actually just in the process of launching it when this whole controversy broke. And so we basically want to address it because we don't we don't believe that what he was involved in is kink. It definitely sounds like it's criminal acts. So we want to educate people, let them know what kink can actually be. It can be an amazing way to open up your relationship and really improve it, get to levels of trust that you've never experienced before. It can be a really great thing. So OntarioKink.com, if you're interested about consent or sex, kink, gender issues, anything like that, please check that out.
Matt is with OntarioKink.com. He's a Niagaran, and he's also very brave and very open to come in and have this conversation, a conversation that hopefully we in society have a little more often. Matt, absolutely. Thanks so much for coming down.
Thank you very much.
It's the Kevin Jack Show, only on the One Voice for Niagara. News Talk 610 CKTV. Got something to say to KJ? Call now, 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, or text your opinion to 610-10.
Via text. Got this during our last interview, KJ. What if a girl asks me to slap her because she's feeling dirty? Now, what if I smack her too hard? Am I at fault for that? She asked for it, but maybe I got carried away. Is it still abuse? And I don't know necessarily that I can address that specific question, but in the hallway with Matt as I was showing him to the door, I did ask him, and I regretted not bringing him up on air, about the accepted, quote-unquote, abuse of women in kink culture. And he said, remember, it's not just women, it's women and men. It works both ways. Oh, right. And he said, the key element is consent. That's what it all boils down to, is consent. And he says, in their community, there are people who they consider to be predators that use BDSM or kink as a cover for their predatory desires. And he says, usually through social media and a tight-knit community, they do a very good job of weeding these people out. But I hope you appreciate that interview, because I very much appreciated Matt coming down to the radio station and having an adult conversation about adult issues.